We've run over on this section. The last topic we wanted to discuss, it's almost 9:40. So I wanted to, maybe we'll have to condense it a little bit. But have a go around with each of the candidates, talking specifically about how they would work on the board and what they would do to help mend the fractures that have occurred over the past several years in these different struggles for the future of the station. So we'll start with Herb and go around with each of the candidates.
Yes, I'd be glad to answer that particular. Herb Williams, by the way, from Long Island. I'm still from Long Island. I just hope some of our Long Island listeners know that. yes, this is a very, very important issue with me. And even one of the main reasons I'm running for the board. Because I say again, folks, we have some very strong personalities. Strong personalities. I cannot overemphasize that. At WBAI and among the candidates that are running for this board. And my concentration will be is how to bring all those strong personalities, all those diverse issues together. And just to give you a little bit of my background, I'm like Ray, I was also a union organizer, I'm part of the same union, and I was a union shop steward. And I have worked in areas of highly intense conflict where we had to come up quickly with some resolutions and ideas to resolve those issues. For example, I was a director of the youth services for a 250 family homeless, you know, some people call it shelter, but it would call a hotel. What do you call those? A welfare hotel. And believe me, the community didn't want them there. They want the people there. We're right across the street from BAM in Brooklyn. You know where that is. I guess many of you know. It was really that. But that's where people live. And my job was to go to all these different community meetings, not to defend what was going on, but how we can bring them together. In fact, I was able to get some of the youngsters from that so-called welfare hotel jobs at BAM. And I was also, with that, we had to make sure that the people from the hotel, who, you know, like to sit outside, would not sit on the step and congregate around BAM. So that was kind of stuff that I had to deal with, plus games and so forth. But that's my background, and I see that being a skill and one of the real things that I want to bring to this board and how to get those issues resolved in a not them against us adversary kind of way. I want to be a healer and bringing people together. Dealing with the issues, of course. Okay. We're not forgetting that.
Okay, Alice Shields.
Yeah, Alice Shields, also a People's Radio Slate, like Herb, who just spoke. My thought is that the very first thing this new board should decide on, whoever is on it, is a code of conduct, of respectful to everyone conduct, both within the board, within the station, and on the air. And that at the very base of it, I know Herb has proposed this in the past too, the very baseline should be Robert's Rules of Order, but I'm sure there's much beyond that with persons perhaps in this group who are used to performing conflict resolution stuff like Herb has done. I know there are other experts who are in the BAI community, and what I would like to say is to invite all of us to get together, either to send our slate or whoever you want, ideas on establishing such a respectful mode of communication. What would it include? What would it not include? If anyone has any ideas, they are welcome to call or email our People's Radio Slate or any of the others, I'm sure would be welcome, I would hope, to such ideas. The People's Radio Slate, you can reach us at 973-763-9493 or email Paul, the number 4, Sure, at AOL.com. You can also reach us through the People's Radio Slate, www.peoplesradio8.com. And that is for the purpose of sharing any ideas we could all collaborate on, perhaps even before the board is seated, so that we can establish what feels good to everyone.
I don't know. For once, I don't have much to say. I'm very worried about how this is going to happen. I mean, there's this, as you can hear with what happened here today and just in general. So I thought somebody proposed that there be a couple of day retreat of people. If they didn't propose it, I maybe thought about it in the middle of the night. With a facilitated session so that we can come up with some priorities. I mean, we will never be able to do everything that 18 people, and I think it's five additional or six additional staff people? So you're talking about 24 people. Oh my God. I mean, you know, so I think we should definitely elect Herb, because he sounds to me like that is terrific. But in all seriousness, we really need some people with some experience. I have some not in terms of specific conflict resolution, but you got to resolve a lot of. I'm more interested in sometimes in making conflict, but not in this board. So I would say I don't want to give out my home number. I don't think, but you can reach me at goldman.k@worldnet.att.net. Or there are some various forums floating around that I can be reached at, and vote me number one, Kathy Goldman.
Okay, Andrea Fishman.
All right, I'll say number Herb first, then me.
Couple of minutes.
I have to say, I'm not quite sure of the question exactly.
The question is what would you, if you were elected to the board, what would you do to help mend the divisions that have emerged in the last several years, and some of the rancor and animosity that's popped up, and so that the board could work together constructively to just help the station.
Well, it's true. On the one hand, I don't know what to say, and on the other hand, I think what I would do in general is to emphasize to the community, or to the board and to the community, that this is the importance of this resource, and the importance of this resource is exactly to mend any conflicts that we have, and to try to ameliorate conflict, try to understand whatever the causes are for the conflict, and that the purpose of the board is really to try to set a process in going for the community to do this, so let alone it has to do it itself. And you know, it's not easy to do that, but I think what needs to be developed is an understanding somehow, and this is what I would work for in any way I could. I would try to build a national resistance to protect this voice. I would try to build an urgency and an understanding in anything we do, in all of the actions that we take. I would like to try to move the station to a community location, to a community center, turn it into a community center so that all members of the community could be involved, all the perspectives of all the divisions or the areas of the community could be involved. I would like to develop a program council. I would like to develop, first of all, a committee to try to address what the responsibilities of a program council would be and could be, and a mechanism for making the program council both responsive to the community and also and responsive to the community in order that the community develop a balance among itself. I would like to have a little creative tension going between the aspects of the community so that they can say, look, this week or this month or maybe for the next few months, what we have to concentrate on are the particular problems harassing the Latino community, and for the community to understand that this is in the interest of the entire community that we focus on understanding these particular problems. I would like to try to develop a means of making the programming both elastic and artistic so that the community, which may not know right away the importance of programming against the Vietnam War, will learn that this is really in the community's interest to have this programming. So basically, I would try to work to develop structures to get the community talking to each other and addressing each other. And if the board were working on that, the board would also do that.
All right, thank you. All right, Chris, okay, how would you help mend the rifts and make the board a more effective instrument for the listeners?
I understand people's caution about this issue, but I'm perhaps not as pessimistic as some people. LISPROG has sponsored a number of candidate events prior to this one, and most of them were attended by people from the Justice and Unity slate, who, if you read certain chat boards on the Internet, are supposed to be our sworn enemies, and so you would have expected there'd be a fight unto death. And one of the things I enjoyed at those was having fruitful discussions with people from Justice and Unity, in which we didn't find that we didn't have any differences, but we found that we didn't have any differences that we couldn't discuss amicably. So I expect that the amount of friction that people expect has been somewhat overstated. I do think that there are real issues of substance which separate us, but I do think that we can, if we just remind ourselves that this is what we're here to do, turn down the heat a little bit. Most of the people I've met during this campaign are people of goodwill, and I have every belief that all we have to do is decide that what unites us is more important than what divides us, and we'll be able to begin to heal the rifts that were born of a period where lots of people were struggling for power. And now that we've won the power, there's some contentions on finding out how to share it, but in the end, we will share it. And I think, again, to go back to that idea of abundance, there's lots of work to be done. Let's get as many people together to work to do it, and let's look for the things that we have in common and discuss amicably those things that we have differences on.
Yes, the first thing I would push down. Yes, I am for a code of conduct. I took a course at the new school on serving at the board, which was given by two wonderful Latino activists. They had films. They even had a textbook. And I'm going to contact them and see if they can help us on this. And it was actually a course right on target on serving on a board. I also would organize a retreat, but I would splurge. Perhaps we would have it at the World Fellowship in New Hampshire with a beautiful lake, vegetarian food, and so on. And also, I would search for our spiritual base. You know, our spiritual people at the station are wonderful. They give some nice massages, but they do a lot of other fine things. And they can help bring us together. Let us always remember we have a lot more in common than we have differences. And we have a terrible enemy and a terrible system here in this country that we have to reverse. We have to work at reversing it. That's our primary goal. Thank you.
I'm Alex Steinberg. For listeners and staff for Progressive Elections, you haven't heard from me before, but I'm glad to be here. And I must say that it's quite refreshing to be able to actually talk about some issues rather than some of the dog and pony shows that have characterized some of the forums we've been to, where we get 2 minutes to respond to this and that. So I really appreciate this opportunity. I'll give you a very brief resume. My background is in philosophy and culture, history and science. I'm an educator and I'm a non-affiliated scholar. I also have a day job to pay the rent. I'm a software engineer in that capacity. I'm also a hiker, a marathon runner, and a former chess master. Now, what I want to say is that when it comes to how we get over the strife and the rancor, that question really gets back to what this Pacifica mission is all about. When Lou Hill founded KPFA in 1949, what he had in mind was instituting an alternative, not simply an alternative media, but an alternative culture. That is, he had in mind instituting a culture that challenged the mainstream culture. And if we keep that in mind, then we can begin to see how, maybe not resolve all the conflicts we have, but at least understand what they're about. My whole métier, if I have one for this board, is that I deal in exploration of issues in depth. WBAI cannot simply be a left-wing version of Fox News. Fox News used to have a slogan, I don't know if they still use it, but they used to have a slogan of the effect, we give you the facts, you decide. Now, what's wrong with that model? Very simple. Well, besides the fact that the facts may be completely false, as for instance the facts in the New York Times article, what's wrong with it is it presumes that listeners are simply passive receptors of input. Listeners have to play an active role in the life of the media of which they're involved. That is clearly something that is very, very different from any kind of mainstream version of media that we know of today. Lou Hill only began, so to speak, the beginnings of that vision. When he instituted Pacifica, he didn't yet see how listeners could actually become part of not only supporting, we're no longer not simply listener supported, but listener managed. We're not there yet. The new local station board will not have a management role in that sense. But we're farther along to that kind of vision than we ever have been before. And I think if we keep those issues in mind, we can begin to see the answers to where we're going. So just one other point. When we say that we have to be a voice for the left, keep in mind that the left is not a homogeneous entity. There are many heterogeneous forces that compose the left today. There are anarchists, there are socialists, there are green people, there are all sorts of feminists. I don't want to leave out any category, but you can fill in the others. We have to have a forum where all these voices can get a hearing and explore the different issues in depth. And I don't mean by that simply that we report on what they're doing and what they're saying, but we have to think about how the cultural programming, how music programming, how all these elements of what goes on the air can intersect and create this alternative culture that we want to represent. Thank you.
Hi, Kim Clark from Justice and Unity. All right, as they say, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, right? Well, I get a little scared when I hear all of these issues. I mean, thank goodness that, you know, I can't say that I'm carrying any of this baggage into this whole thing, because it really sounds like a nightmare and actually was part of disillusioning me from really wanting to be involved with this station in the last couple of years. Yet, you know, WBAI has transformed my life. You know, I have become vegetarian from learning about Mad Cow, you know, the other time, right? You know, in 96, right? You know, and so on and so forth. But to me, healing divisions is a process, right? Any healing is a process. It's kind of like when you look at your health and you say, well, God, you know, I've been glutting myself for years, and, you know, how can I clean my colon in a day? And it's like, that's, you know, it's going to take maybe just as long to come to a place where people have been able to rebuild these human relationships. And a lot of times in movement building and all this stuff, especially in New York City, it's like, everything has to happen, and today, and we have an agenda, and by 10 o'clock, it needs to be done. And that's not really how healing works. And So I feel like, you know, I agree with people who've, you know, talked about getting back to the mission of Pacifica. If we are really going to have a movement here, then I'm assuming that all the people who eventually are elected to the board, you know, it's going to be a mixed group of independent people, people from all different slates, and we have to ultimately share a vision. Like, a problem I had with what was going on with the whole, 300,000 people marching against the war was that, so I'm there, and I see all these people, but many who wouldn't sit next to me in the train, right, wouldn't talk to me most any other day, most likely, and everyone's there together to talk about, you know, we're united against the war. But in order for WBAI to be successful, we need to unite around what we're for. So if we don't know what we're for, and if we're not sharing that vision, then I'm not really sure where it is that we're going to go. So, you know, like in any relationship, when there have been transgressions, you have to rebuild trust. So I feel like we can't just kind of glaze this over and say, okay, we have a whole bunch of people, and you look like this, and you came from there, and now we're all in the room, and we're going to, you know, have a retreat, which retreat I think is a fabulous idea, but not as a solution, but maybe as a beginning, right? But I need to be able to come in wholly to the table and not feel compartmentalized, not feel like I have to leave a couple of my, I don't know, isms or whatever at the door when I get there because it's more expedient or, you know, or what have you. So I don't want us to disillusion ourselves and think that somehow somebody here is going to have, like, the key to how Pacifica and WBAI need to, like, heal ourselves. Just like, yes, we do have things in common, and hopefully that is where we're trying to go, we have to learn how to embrace difference. And part of that has to do with self-determination. And sometimes that scares people because they're not really sure what that's about. But when we talk about respect, we have to respect people to be who they are and to be autonomous agents of themselves as well as representatives of larger communities. I think we need to stop dwelling kind of here in this past and, you know, see how it is that we can move forward, and not just in terms of our eloquent rhetoric, but in terms of what we're actually willing to live and actualize and manifest together as a collective.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is Rella Forrest. I have seen what was being proposed by Kim work. When we took over the station as a result of the settlement imposed by the judge, I had to work with people who truly are considered the enemy and who had been imposed, as far as I was concerned, on us by the so-called former majority. And through sitting down with professional assistants, we were able to get to a point where we work with them. And when we came to a position where we had common interests, such as diversity, we worked with them in some limited areas. However, I agree 100% with what Kim said. I'd like to add, though, and I'd like to give a chance, 1 minute for Panama Elba, who's a member of our slate, to say a few words. I'd like to say that this new agreement has to be done on a principle basis. It's got to be done on real issues. If a husband abuses his wife every night when he comes home drunk, it doesn't make sense to get a counselor to get them together. The abuse has to stop first. And one of the forms of respect is that I have to be present. When I'm organizing groups and the boss tells me, well, I respect my workers, I say, no, if you pay those workers $7 and $10 an hour, you do not respect them. So you can live with whatever concept you have, but they have to be treated as full individuals. So I'm quite willing. First, the reality is that we have a proportional system that will elect individuals from every slate, and clearly some independents, and some of them might be here tonight. Maybe two of them tonight. But seriously, this new alliance has to be based on respect and practical and true opening.
an openness of mind and soul to the, and that my girlfriend will be glad that I'm using those words, and spirit, I should say, to each other's agenda. He just said a few words.
That's three now.
Okay, 1 second. I thought I was given 2 minutes to speak. I spoke less so that Panama could say a few words. That's what I said.
But you know what? I will respect the forum.
Okay.
You know what? Tim and this gentleman here have really spoken for me anyway. It's because we are part of a vision of unity. Okay? So I am not going to impose myself. It's unfortunate that there are some people who are manipulating what you're doing here tonight in order to have a voice heard. Thank you. Who's
next? Okay, all right.
So we had to go around, and did we not go around to us? Yeah, we started with Herb, and we went all the way around. Okay. My question. This listener waited all night to ask a question. Yeah, my question is this, Ray LaForce, I was very upset to hear that at the end of the last lab meeting, which is sort of equivalent to this new board that's forming, there was a private, secretive meeting in which the chairman of that board was ousted from his position. Now, that happened, I assume, because there was a breakdown in all the good feeling you all have here today, and that you thought that a secret meeting was the way in which to remedy whatever problems you had. If given that situation again, what would you do? Would you again have and support and be part of a private, secretive meeting?
Can I answer that? You want me to answer that?
Yes, please.
Okay. Factually, this was on the last meeting of the board. There were two, maybe three meetings that followed that. The meeting was a secret. It's called an executive meeting because it was dealing with the leadership style and effectiveness of the chair. You know, it's similar to the question we just discussed about having people's salaries all over the internet. The issues that brought us together there were real. They had to do with the availability of the chair to the process. They had to do with the clearly dislike of the chair for really hacking it down and spending a lot of time arguing issues. It had to do with the board, which is a great majority taking position on some issues and not being represented by the chair at all at public events. Are you talking to me? Because I'm talking to you. You're turning around. I'm talking to you.
Okay, fine.
So what I'm saying is that the chair, as I'm a member of the national board, and I have my own position, and I will fight for it. However, if as a chair of the board, I go to different activities, and the board's opinion, in this case, 15 to 2, it is my duty to represent both my position and the board's position. The board felt after repeated attempt that their position was not accepted. And there are a few issues. I'll go over one more that is very important. The chair of the board, who's Latino, chose to attack Panama Elba here, sending a letter, and I have it with me, telling the leaders of the Latino community in New York City that this man, Panama Elba, had sold out the Latino cause to black and white groups in WBAI. After this last incident, and that was specifically around Pacifica issues, not something that took place in private, the board decided that we wanted to have a talk with the chair. We invited the chair to meet with us, okay, and discuss the issues. On the day of the meeting, the chair arrived 2 hours late. We chose the most reasonable, mild-mannered individual on the chair with Ann Emmerman, member of the local board, to chair the meeting to make sure things did not get inflamed. In spite of that, as soon as there was an attempt to explain what was expected, the chair rose up. She used a few four-letter words that I don't have to repeat here. Say, I don't have to listen to you, so-and-so. You made up your mind already and walked out. We still had a quorum. We decided the situation could not continue. We suspended the chair. It is in writing. We have released it after the chair chose to make the issue public. We suspended the chair and told him in that document that he's suspended and his duties will be reassigned and rotated among the different board members of the board until he accepts to meet with us and solve those issues. This is what happened. It happened in a meeting that was not secret, and that's why you know about it, but rather it was an executive meeting that dealt with the very nature and tenure of leadership on the local board of WBAI.
I'd like to reply to that for a second. Okay.
Unfortunately, Miguel is not here to reply to this, but I would point out, just in general, that Miguel did not insist on a secret meeting. Quite the contrary, he wanted the meeting to be public. If such a meeting was to be confidential, the only way you could justify it was if the people involved wanted it to be confidential. That was not the case in this particular meeting. And as far as I'm concerned, with the new local station board, that kind of behavior should never happen.
All right. Need to... Okay, fine. All right, we're going to do that. We're going to get to that. And I know people are starting to trickle out. One thing I just wanted to encourage people real quick before you finish up this discussion is if you can leave any sort of donation here, it costs a lot of money to keep this space open and to feed people for these events. So it's been great having everybody here. And so I guess we're going to talk about this last topic a little bit more so everybody can say what they need to say. And then I'd like to thank once again everybody for coming tonight, and hope the winners have a great time at that retreat.
I first of all wanted to clarify. I got here late only because I just found out about the switch in place. Okay, so it was not meant as any disrespect for the people that put this forum in place. Having said that, it is very difficult to sit and then be told that you can't talk because you got here late, but have your name battered around a little bit here and there about what Panama does or doesn't do. Okay? I am Panama, and I am the Latino who first, before the station was retaken, okay, went up to Bernard White, went up to Valerie, and told them that my participation in retaking the station, okay, was not to get the station back to everything that it had been, but to get the station back to everything that it should be, okay? Because Latino people that make up upwards of one-third of the potential listening area of WBAI, like indigenous people, like people, like Asian people, we are third step children in the Pacific, in WBAI's programming, governance, existence. Okay? People ask me to talk about why I would say such a thing about such a progressive station, and I have to say is that, in fact, it was not as progressive as it wanted it itself to be. When the community was told that it could not come to a public meeting because WBAI's state local advisory boards were open, okay? Interestingly enough, it was the only two Latino members of the local advisory board, myself being one, that wound up in jail. Having been a diabetic, I spent 3 days in jail without insulin, no complaint, because I do what my heart tells me to do. See? So now here we get to the point where we retake the station, and Miguel Maldonado is one of the many people, okay, who contributed tremendously to retaking the station. But I gotta tell you one thing. I never participated in the retaking of the station with the intention of getting a job at WBAI. I could tell you that Miguel did. I could tell you that Miguel went, I'm sorry. Okay, I refrain. Excuse me. It was not a personal attack. I was making a statement of fact that I will omit. My point is the following. My point is the following. Miguel Maldonado has not been the only Latino involved in this struggle. And when we came back to the station, we put on the agenda when we came back and we took the station, we made it a point to call for meetings of the Latino community to identify the issues, not just Spanish language programming, but Spanish language programming. How do you integrate, okay, the Asian, the indigenous people, African descent, and Latinos in issue programming. You know, we bring part of the culture of this town. We are part of the struggles for environmental justice. We are part of everything that happens in this listening area. And if you were to hear WBAI, you wouldn't think so. We believe that to be a problem. We talked about Spanish, about Latino programming, that an individual went on to decide what was best for us, if it was best for us. That is not self-determination. That is not real inclusion. See, and that is the answer to your question. And Miguel Maldonado, I'm sorry if I slandered you. Why are you not here?
Okay. All right, Mitchell, you've got a question. We do need to wrap this up. We've got a newspaper to put out later tonight.
Okay, this is Mitchell Cohen again. My question to all the candidates is there are all the slates that are here, not including the one that's not here, all the slates that are here are very diverse, people from all different backgrounds on all the slates. Question is, are there any people from, I'll ask this to Ray first, but I'd like the other slates as well to address, any people, say, from the Listprog slate that you would consider supporting based on, you know, trying to bridge gaps and trying to find things that are positive in what they do? For instance, after people vote for the Listprog candidates, I particularly would support and vote for Yvonne Liu. I think she's a good person from, and other people as well on the other slate, and see if we could get some unity. So I was wondering if there are any people that you would support from the other slates, especially from Listprog slate.
What is a typical question? I can tell you the brother here, I actually moved to slowly, and I wanted, when I found out about his background, I wanted him to be on that slate. Not because he's African-American, because we have plenty of African-Americans, but because what his African-Americanness made him get involved in his communities. However, the only thing I can say, though, is that I have enough people on my slate right now, and I support them, and I support them because of the vision, and I think we are complementary within our own slate. So there are many individuals that I've worked with before, so, to be realistic, I would say that at this point I support the Justice and Unity slate, and we have enough good people here to deal with all the issues.
Okay, thank you. I would just want to remind people again about the People's Radio slate. By the way, when we say People's Radio slate, we mean just that, not just the candidates, but also the listening audience. People involved in the processes and with a WBAI. But the other thing is that I'm a strong believer. I have started organizations. I have started boards. And I can tell you, at parameters, strict parameters, not set down right from the beginning, and strict codes of conduct and not set down from the beginning, all of these people who are very good people, I met some very good people from all slates. And by the way, I'm sorry we even got into this thing about slates. However, be that as it may, I've drawn one because I thought it would give us more exposure in other areas in Jersey, Westchester, and so forth. You know, so that's why I joined the slate, because I've been in Long Island like being in the boondocks. You know? You know what I mean? So that's one of the reasons, by the way, we have 8 people on our slate. And I say it again. After you vote for us, those 8 people on our slate, vote for any other people that, and I would, on any other slate. You got a lot of good people. All right? So I'm not against hogging a slate, you know, with all 18 our people. And that's fine, you know, if people want to do that. But I'm saying we got 8 people on our slate. I'm just asking you to vote for all our 8 of us, and then 10 of the other people you see around this room. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Yeah, maybe we hear from somebody from Listprog, and we do kind of need our office back at some point, so we need to wind this down.
I think certainly the People's Radio slate has a number of candidates that are impressive. There's a number of independent candidates that are impressive. Ms. Goldman and several others that I've had the chance to see. But there are people on the Justice and Unity slate that I would support. Ms. Yvonne Liu, who was here earlier this evening, is one. And I have to admit I don't remember the gentleman's last name, but a person named Evan from the Justice and Unity Slate, who I met at one of the List Prague Brooklyn events, I was also impressed with. So the other thing is, there's only going to be 18 people elected, but there should be lots more people involved with that listener station board. So I would reach out to lots of candidates in the more than the 18 that I'm going to vote for and encourage them to participate. But yeah, there are people from the Justice and Unity Slate that I think are impressive candidates.
I want to say one thing as an independent candidate. Listen carefully and pay close attention. Whose slate was Utrecht Sleet on? Whose slate was Frank Milspaugh on? Whose slate was Bessie Wash on? These are people who had prominent positions in Pacifica. So the listeners have to listen carefully and pay close attention. They have to go for the best people. They have to really pick up the bottom line of WBAI in Pacifica, which is go to the bottom line, decipher the real information, recognize the real facts, and elect the best people. And I can be reached at 212-873-1954, which was a good year. Josh.
This is just a quick one from Alex Steinberg. I'm also from List Prague, and I actually don't agree with my colleague Chris from List Prague. I would support some of the excellent candidates from the People's for Radio Slate. I would support some of the excellent independent candidates, such as Andrea and Kathy Goldman. I would not support any Justice and Unity candidate people, not because I don't like them. For instance, I happen to like Yvonne very much. I would not support them because of the issues involved. The Justice and Unity Slate is committed to reopening the debate over the bylaws. We have gone through 18 months of fratricidal struggle over that issue, and I don't think the Pacifica Foundation can tolerate. I think it would be reasonable to at least give the present bylaws a chance before you say you want to reopen the bylaws.
All right, come on, we're getting off top. But I think we need to wind this up, and if people want to have private discussions, that can continue on. Okay. All right. Our audio engineer tells us we're playing out of time. So thanks a lot for coming here. And Indy Media looks forward to covering this all the way here. And here.
Who's the platform, by the way?
Quiet, please. Kathy has something to say. So we have
a number of us have been talking about the fact that...
Quiet, please.
These... Hello?
Quiet, please. Kathy's saying something to all of you.
I'm asking all of you. Some of us have been talking about the fact that this happened to be an unusually... Really, a time when you could get into a real discussion.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
The other situations, we've got 2 minutes. We are now being told to get a 40-second cart that's going to be put on the radio. It's ridiculous. I think as a group and as individuals, I would ask that the slates and those of us, anybody, call Don Rojas and insist that significant airtime in the next few weeks be given over to this kind of debate on the air.
Yeah.
And we just, and I'm telling you, if we don't get it easily, then let's get it the hard way. But I'm really serious. And if Patty, if you call or somebody calls up, the other thing was that we were promised a meeting with the candidates once they were approved to discuss financial situation with Don Rojas. I have not been invited if that happens.
Can I make an announcement, please? Please? Can I please make an announcement? There's a gentleman by the name of Pedro Pietri, who some of you know, some of you may not know. He was sent home from Bronx Lebanon Hospital to die for stomach cancer. We have raised $23,000 and we are $7,000 short. Okay, of getting him to Mexico to an alternative healthcare facility. Please,
anyone who can donate 50 cents, a dollar, $5, or 500, please send it to the foundation. Gladys, you have the address on hand?
Can we give you the address?